for our reading this afternoon. Let's turn to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. For those of us that are redeemed, we know that Jesus is our mighty liberator. He is the one who has set us free from sin, set us free from the yoke of bondage, has given unto us great liberty, great freedom. As the Lord would have it to be, that we would have this freedom and this liberty. And it is only through him that we have this liberty. Yet we have an enemy of the soul, and he wants to draw us back into sin, draw us back into those things which are unprofitable by deception or by whatever means he has for us to be brought back into sin and into those things which are unprofitable. But ours is to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep a spiritual focus and keep him as the center of our lives, round about whom all things in our lives revolve around Jesus Christ, our mighty liberator. This chapter begins by saying, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." And this is the focus that we need to have, is to stand fast, not be moved from this freedom, from this liberation that we have in Christ Jesus. Again, this liberation from sin. liberation from those things which are unprofitable. And we are to stand fast in that and not be moved away from it. There's a verse in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 14, that speaks of a miracle, just a miracle that transpired in just simply one verse. It says, "And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass that when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered." That's it. That's everything that's gives all the details around that one miracle that Jesus Christ has done. Jesus Christ had come to this man who could not speak, who was mute. He had a dumb spirit. And Jesus Christ liberated him. He cast out that devil. And that when that devil was cast out, that man spoke for the first time. For the first time, he was able to use his tongue in a way that was formation of words and these types of things. And it says, and the people wondered. So when we consider that, they wondered. This was a miracle. They were in astonishment. They marveled at it. This man was able now to speak for the first time in his life. No longer was he grunting or using other means to communicate. Christ had liberated his tongue. Christ had given him liberty to now be able to speak. But in a far greater sense, Christ has given us a liberty that we could be free from our burden and yoke of bondage of sin. And so, last Wednesday night, we read Romans chapter 7, and then the first two verses of chapter 8 as well. And these verses here that we read on Wednesday night brought me to Galatians chapter 5 that we read this afternoon. The end of Romans 7 says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Who shall liberate me? Who shall set me free from the body of this death?" And then it says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we can be liberated. We can be set free. We can be delivered from this body of death. Christ is our mighty liberator, the one who has set us free. The Apostle Paul recognized that, and he writes there, "I thank God, it's through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then it continues on. The scriptures here are broken up into chapters. In the past, it was not chapters and verses. And so the thought would have simply just continued. And it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation, no damnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so ours is to focus on Jesus Christ, to walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. And then verse number 2, I believe is a beautiful verse here that speaks to this liberation that we have in Christ Jesus. "For the law of the Spirit of life," consider those words, "the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free." Had made me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ came to give us life, and that more abundantly. And the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from that law of sin and death. We don't need to be having this condemnation just simply hanging in ahead of us. And I know I mention this often, but just think that we've committed a crime, and the judge has not pronounced a sentence yet, or some verdict, and we're just waiting for it. It's ahead of us. It's scheduled in a week or two or three, and it's just out there in front of us, and we're dreading it. We're dreading it. We're in condemnation, but in Christ Jesus there is no condemnation to those who walk not in the flesh but in the Spirit. We're free from that condemnation. We've been liberated. Christ, our mighty liberator, has set us free. And so here now in Galatians chapter 5, it speaks now again, "Stand fast," or "don't be moved from this liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Don't be moved from this liberty. Continue in this liberty where we can be free, free from that ceremonial law, which is spoken of in Romans 7 and also in here in Galatians chapter 5, and also from sin, the works of the flesh. He continues on here in first verse, be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage. That yoke of bondage, being just tied very, very securely to bondage, where there is no freedom. And we're yoked with that bondage. We're in lockstep with that bondage of sin and of damnation and of condemnation and of death. Christ came to liberate us and to free us from that sin. But we have an enemy of our soul. And the enemy of our soul wants to put us into bondage. He wants us to be where he is going. He wants us to lose hope. And so, as was mentioned this morning, there are false prophets that have been sent, those in sheep clothing, and there are others who bring forth a false doctrine. And we read of that here in this epistle. In chapter 1, we read in verse number 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There are those who would bring a different gospel, some other gospel other than Jesus Christ, the mighty liberator. In verse number 7, we read here in Galatians chapter 5, our reading this afternoon, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who did that? Who hindered you? Who made it that you would not obey the truth? It's not from the Lord. And then he says further, and this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. And then he says further, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In today's language, we would say one rotten apple spoils the whole bunch. If there is one who would bring in a false doctrine, it could create much damage to the whole body. And so it is only through Jesus Christ. And there is no other gospel. There is no other way as the way that we heard of in this morning hour. It is through Jesus Christ. And even as Apostle Paul came to that recognition, oh, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if there's any other teaching or preaching other than the Lord Jesus Christ, it is leaven. And then he says here further in verse number 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. You won't be persuaded by other things other than through Jesus Christ. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. God is not a respecter of person, whether it be a Jew or a Gentile or whoever it may be that is bringing in this other doctrine. He will bear his judgment. And then he says further, I would that they were cut off even which trouble you. That those that are bringing in these different doctrines, different ways other than Jesus Christ, Paul's desire is that they would be cut off because they are troubling, because they are leaven, because it takes us away from the truth that is in Christ Jesus. In the list here of the works of the flesh in verses 19, 20, and 21, in verse number 20, it speaks of those who would have hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strifes, and seditions. Speaking of these things, again, of those who would bring in damnable heresies, of those who would turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ and try to bring in some other doctrine that would take us away from the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus and would entangle us again with the yoke of bondage of sin. It speaks here of witchcraft. And we think of witchcraft as a horrible sin, as which it is. But right next to witchcraft is hatred. Hatred. We have been called into love. We have been called by him who loves us to love him in return and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so there, those who would not inherit the kingdom of God have hatred. And then there's words here that we don't use very often. Variance. Variance would be having dissension or discord. Emulation is having a hot zeal, but because of jealousy. So if we see that somebody else has something or is doing something that we want, we outdo them with some hot zeal to outdo them in those things. That's what emulation is. Wrath, strife, seditions. Again, those things which cause division, those things which are not pleasing to the Lord, these are the works of the flesh. And they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These things the word of God makes clear. And I appreciate how this list ends with, and such like, meaning that this isn't the exhaustive list. These are some of the things that would keep us out of the kingdom of God. These are the works of the flesh. But then in Ephesians we read, but ye have not so learned Christ. We haven't learned Christ by the works of the flesh. We haven't learned Christ by being leaven. We haven't learned Christ by doing those things which would trouble other people. This is not the way of Christ. And so we have not learned Christ that way, and we learn Christ as one who would be full of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we are being called to, of living, being led of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and pleasing the Lord well in these things. This is what the Lord is calling us to. To keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, now as we consider some passages, verses in here in this passage, we would look at a verse such as verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. We have been called to be free. Free from sin, free from condemnation. But he says, but only use not this liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Not to think that free grace has been given to me and now I can do as I please. No, not that at all. But in our liberty that we would, by love, serve one another. This is what God has called us to, is that we, by love, would serve one another, knowing that we are keeping a focus on him who has liberated us and set us free from sin. Set us free from being in bondage even to the ceremonial law. That we no longer have to think that, well, I can't touch a dead body or I'll be unclean. Or I can't travel so much on the Sabbath day because that would be breaking the law. Or I need to be circumcised or I'll be breaking the law. But we think of that love that he has for us, and that we would then by love serve one another. This is what the Lord is calling us to. And as we have a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, we follow in his example of his love that he had for us. As he served us, we are also to serve. In John's epistle, he writes, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is an attribute. Love is an action that has come from God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. If we exercise ourselves in that fruit of the Spirit of love, then we know God. We know him. We can say that. And we are born of him. And we only love because he first loved us. Love is self-sacrificing. Not our ways, but the way of God be done. And as we would serve others, that it would cost us and be a benefit to the recipient of the act of love. So we are by love to serve one another. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ in the time before he was to be crucified. Certainly it was a difficult and weighing heavy on him as he's getting ready to give his life as a supreme sacrifice for all mankind and to take upon himself the sin of the whole world. And yet when he's in that time, he is serving others in love. He took a basin and wrapped himself in a towel, and he knelt before his disciples and he washed their feet. By love, serve one another. Jesus Christ has modeled that. And so as he's washing their feet, he's certainly thinking, oh, the feet of this man, he's going to go run to the Pharisees and betray me. And as he gets to the feet of another man, he's going to say, oh, this man is going to stand by the coals of fire and warm himself and vehemently deny that he knows me. And yet he keeps washing his feet. And then he washes the feet of the next disciple and knows, oh, this man's going to flee, and this man's going to flee. And yet he loved, and yet he loved, and yet he served. And so the Bible here is saying, we've been called unto liberty. We have been freed of our sin. And because of this, by love, serve one another. Serve one another. This is what the Lord is calling us to serve one another. In Philippians, we read, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Strife is a work of the flesh. It's a work of the flesh to say, I'm better than you, or I know better than you do. And to stand our ground, that's strife. Or to seek vainglory, meaning I outdid this other person. And did everybody notice when I did these things? And Jesus, the Word of God is simply saying, the Word is saying, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other higher than themselves. This is by love serving one another. Let each esteem other better than themselves. This is the way of the Lord. This is standing fast in the liberty wherewith we have been made set free. This is how we stand fast in this liberty. This is how we are anchored in Jesus Christ. This is how we build upon the rock of Jesus Christ, that when the storms come, we're not moved. We're, by love, serving another. It's costing me, and it's a benefit to you. You're not perfect, but I'm yet serving you, even as Jesus washed his disciples' feet. This is how we stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, by love serving one another. And then it continues on in the next verse. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is what God is calling us to. God loves each and every one of us. God loves each and every one of us. If he loves me, and I know he loves you, then he is well pleased when I love you. The Apostle Paul had heard of what was going on in Galatia, how false doctrines were being spread, how there was a reversion to ceremonial law, and yet he writes a letter to them, and immediately in the beginning of the letter, he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. This is by love serving one another. This is fulfilling that second greatest commandment, that we would love our neighbor as ourself. They were in error, and there were some things that needed to be addressed, but he loved them. But he did love them. He wasn't aggressive toward them. He wasn't full of strife toward them. He wasn't argumentative or contentious. He came to them and said, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, also a verse coming to mind, But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. The body of the church of God is not contentious, one who would strive to be argumentative, debate, prove himself right. There is no such custom. That is not the way of the body of Christ. Then we come down to the fruit of the Spirit. I appreciated what was mentioned this morning, that when in our youth we listened perhaps to music that was devil worship, speaking what it truly is. It was devil worship. And we listened to that music often enough that decades later we can still remember it. We can still remember it when those lyrics are played over a speaker system. And so as we are liberated in Christ, and as we are now being led of the Spirit, and as we are living in the Spirit, as we are walking in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit needs to come out of our lives. And here in this chapter, we read of the 9 fruit of the Spirit. And so my exhortation to you is memorize these 9 fruit of the Spirit. Let them be written indelibly in your mind, just as those songs were that you heard in your youth. And let it be that you would never forget these 9 fruit of the Spirit. Because as we strive to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and be led of the Spirit, as we read here in this chapter, it says these 3 things: living in the Spirit, led of the Spirit, and walking in the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit then can come out. These 9 fruit of the Spirit shouldn't be foreign to us as we live out this life as we've been liberated in Christ. This is again how we stand fast in the liberty that we find in Christ. Commit these 9 fruit of the Spirit in your mind. As I work with converts, I ask them on the first time we meet, commit these 9 fruit of the Spirit in your life. In your memory, because this is how you want to live now. This is how you want to live. This is how we want to live. And it's no wonder that the first fruit of the Spirit that's listed here is love. By love, serve one another. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your brother. Love your enemy. God is love. And if we love, then we are born of God and we know God. We can say we know God because we love. If we're filled with the works of the flesh and have hatred and wrath and strife, then we don't know God. We're not born of Him. And the fruit of the Spirit of love is not coming out of us. And so love needs to be preeminent in our lives. Love, again, self-sacrifice. It's not what I want. I have my preferences. I have my thoughts. But that's not what's important. What's important to me is that I esteem you higher than I think of myself. That is love. That is what the love that we are being called to. And then we can joyfully serve one another. It's not a burden. But when we think we have to have our way, then it's a burden to do it someone else's way because we're not showing them love. Joy. Joy. We've been redeemed. We've been liberated. The shackles of sin are gone. They've dropped to the ground. And now we can go forth in freedom, no longer having condemnation, no longer having a judgment against us. Knowing that Christ has set us free, we can go forth in joy and peace. Turmoil in this world. Turmoil all over. But in Jesus Christ, we can have peace. And then that peace needs to show forth. Long-suffering, being patient. Things aren't going right. Things aren't going right. But we're patient. We're suffering long in that time when things aren't going right. And then having a spirit of gentleness. One of simply not being combative, but quite the opposite. Just simply having a gentle spirit. goodness, faith, faith in Jesus Christ, having that spirit of meekness. Jesus says, learn of me, for I am meek. We are to be followers of Jesus Christ, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, and then we can have meekness, that fruit of meekness coming out of our lives. Again, not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but in lowliness of mind, esteeming others higher than ourselves. And then temperance. Temperance being self-control. Self-control, where we don't allow ourselves to behave in a way that would be reflective of the works of the flesh. Because that's, again, entangling ourselves in the bondage of sin. This is what the Lord is calling us to. And we are to be walking in this freedom. I thank God that through Jesus Christ, we can have this freedom. That the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free. Free. Free from the bondage of sin and death. To the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. As we are walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, we want to come to the stature, to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. We want to be like Him. As Christians, we are followers of His. And we want to do what He would have us to do, that we might be liberated and free with Him, that we would measure up to the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Looking to Him, who when He was reviled, He didn't revile again. When He was mocked, when He was ridiculed, all that suffering that He went through, He didn't threaten them. He didn't threaten. A carnal man will threaten them. A man who has the works of the flesh, he would threaten in return. He would bring vengeance upon those who would threaten them. But we, as being led of the Spirit, would know that vengeance is the Lord's, and He will repay, and He will make all things right. And we can just simply have peace in the Lord in these things. And so we come to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. And then further here in Ephesians chapter 4, he speaks, but speaking the truth in love. If there's truth that needs to be spoken, it needs to be spoken of in love, to the benefit of the other, to the benefit of the other, that we might grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And that's our desire, is to reach that fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, to grow up into Him. Who is the head? Grow up into Him. It was about a year ago, we had a brother's meeting here, and the theme of that brother's meeting was that we would grow up into Him. Grow up into Him. Grow into Jesus Christ. And not no longer stay as babes in Christ, but that we would grow up into Him. That when something adverse would come our way, that we would display the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness, and not have wrath or strife, but that we would grow up into Christ and know that the Lord knows all things. The Lord knows all things, and we're trusting in Him. We have faith in Him. He has liberated me. He has set me free. The devil wants to draw me back into sin. The devil wants to draw me back into those things which are unprofitable. But we are to keep our focus on our mighty liberator, the one who set us free, and exercise the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Grow up into Him to that fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. May He bless His word upon our hearts. Amen.